This is a simple game. You throw the ball, you hit the ball, you catch the ball. You got it.
Now, the show that Red Sox Nation turns to first. This is Boston's most listened to nightly baseball show, The Baseball Reporters with Tony Maz. Brought to you by Jordan's Furniture, Bing Y World Class Market, Brennan Smoke Shop, Rodenizer Plumbing, Heating, AC and Electric, Ron Bouchard's Auto Stores, Advanced Auto Parts, U.S. Marker Board, Boston Volkswagen, Gravely Zero Turn Lawnmower, Foxwoods Resort Casino, Jackson Lumber, and Mass General Cancer Center. On Boston's home for sports, 98.5, The Sports Hub.
Green's 2-1 to Lynn. And a bounding ball to the second baseman, Harrison. And that'll do it. The Tigers sweep the Red Sox in a doubleheader today. 7-4 and 4-2. And there go all those great feelings after the three-game sweep against Tampa Bay.
Boy, you get that right, Dave O'Brien. There go all of those good feelings after the sweep of the Tampa Bay Rays. What a kick in the nuts that was yesterday. So, look, here's what we're going to do, okay? 617-779-0985, but you already know that. We'll open up the phone lines right away because, again, the Bruins, it feels like, are suddenly making a little noise in the postseason. And I say suddenly because we knew it would last six or seven games. Now we know it's going to last at least four more and probably another six or seven. And dare I say that they're ready to make a little bit of a cup run. Dare I say. Okay, so we'll see how that goes, but you can follow the Bruins right here at 98.5, the Sports Hub. And because of that, there are limited nights here where we are on with the baseball reporters. So tomorrow night, again, unlikely that we will have a program. In fact, I'm fairly certain of it. So Felger and Maz will go to 6:30. We'll take you up to Bruins pregame, which means if you want to talk about your baseball team, now is the time to do it. Now. And we begin with the Red Sox, as Dave O'Brien said, all of the good feeling from that series in Tampa Bay. If you want to get out your anger, because let's face it, other than the Red Sox, boy, a lot's going right. The Bruins have won two games since we came back, one on the weekend and one last night. The Celtics closed out the Pacers. There's all this good feeling. Everyone's feeling great. You got to be pissed about something. Your baseball team's what you should be pissed about. You really should be pissed about your baseball team. The Red Sox came out of Tampa. They were five games out. Do you remember that going in, Murray? They were eight games out going into Tampa. And what did you say?
I said if they were going to get swept, they could be as far back as 12 come this past Monday.
Correct. As it was, they got it down to five.
Yeah.
They got it down to five. And you know how long it took them to have that thing go right up to seven?
Yesterday's doubleheader.
2 days. 2 days, and really it was one and a half. Because, again, they got rained out on Monday, so they had to play on Tuesday. They played a doubleheader. They lose both games to the Tigers. Meanwhile, Tampa Bay beats Kansas City after having beaten Kansas City the night before. Two games you lose in one day. Two games in one day. So now Tampa has lost today, so it's back down to six and a half. But really, the Red Sox have given away whatever good feeling they generated in that Tampa Bay series. So, as a Red Sox follower, here is my question to you, the fan. Okay, here is my question to you, the fan. Of all the things that have gone wrong this season, up to now, who or what do you blame most for the Red Sox being where they are? Who or what do you blame most for the Red Sox being 9-15 and woefully underachieving? And the list is long. There are a lot of areas to turn to when a team is 9-15. But what struck me yesterday is something we're not making a big enough deal about, and that's Chris Sale. So that's where I'm going to start. You tell me where you want to start. Chris Sale in five starts this year is winless, and the Red Sox have lost all five games. All five games they have lost with their quote-unquote ace on the mound. And after yesterday's game, Sale made some sort of half-assed comment about how, well, you know, I'm better. When I came out of the game, we had a chance to win. So that's the standard now for an ace. Give us a chance to win. That's the standard. I don't pay an ace for a chance to win. I pay an ace to win. Period. End of story. You only get one run when an ace pitches, then you win 1-0. You get two runs, you better win 2-1. Sale yesterday got two runs early, had a chance to take a lead or hand a lead off in the middle innings, and you know what happened? He gave the lead back. He threw 97 pitches, is that what it was, in five innings, and had to come out of the game and hand the game over to the bullpen? So he gave him a chance to win, but he didn't give him a lead. He had a lead. He gave it back. So all I'm telling you is this. Don't leave Sale off the list. Don't leave him off the list. In fact, if you really want to push it, Sale's underperformance, and I recognize that he isn't necessarily solely responsible for this, but the Sale issue from the way they treated him in spring training to now is the number one reason the Red Sox are where they are, is the mishandling and underperformance of Chris Sale. That is number one on the list, and I'll give you the numbers in just a second. Meanwhile, Sale was asked about some of this yesterday. After the game, here's what Sale said about his performance and the concern over how he has pitched here through his first five starts.
I know what I can do on a baseball field. I know it's y'all's job to freak out, but I'm not worried about where I'm at or what I'm doing. I know what I'm capable of doing, and check the book, I've done it quite a bit.
Okay, so I'm not freaking out. I'm just telling you how I see it. And what I see right now is a team that's 0-5 with its ace on the mound and an ace who has the worst record in Major League Baseball, 0-4. I think the only other guy with four losses in the majors has a win. Sale doesn't. The Red Sox are 0-5, and Chris Sale starts. He's their ace. 0-5. So do the math. They're 9-15. If you add four wins, that takes him to 13-12. If the Red Sox were just gone 4-1 in Chris Sale's five games, which is not unreasonable when you have an ace like that. When you have that guy on the mound, you got to win 70%, 80% of the time. And if you don't believe me, let's go back to Pedro, because everybody likes to compare Sale to Pedro Martinez. In 1999, Pedro Martinez pitched in 31 games and the Red Sox won 26-5. Okay, they were 21 games over. They finished the year 22 games over. So I look at that, and I will tell you that Pedro Martinez was the difference between being a 500 team, a mediocre team, and being a playoff team, which is what the Red Sox were. And I take it back. I think they were a 93-win team that year. But regardless, they were one game over 500 when Pedro didn't pitch, and they were 21 over when he did pitch. So I look at Sale and I say a large majority of where the Red Sox are falls on Sale, the way he has been handled, and the way he pitched. And so he can make all the fun he wants about it's your job to freak out, but the truth is it's his job to win, and it's their job to put them in a position to win. So I look at Sale and I say that's number one on the list. 0-5 with Chris Sale on the mound, 0-5. Oh, that is why you are where you are. There are other things too, which we'll get to, and I know that many of you have your opinions too, and we'll start taking your thoughts on it right now. Again, 617-779-0985. Matt is in Acton. Matt, what do you got?
Hey, so I don't think it's entirely Chris Sale's fault. I think, getting him off to a slow start and everything just didn't really help him out. But about the books, saying to go back and check the books is just showing how poorly he's pitching right now.
Okay, so Matt, and he knows that. Okay, Sale, generally speaking, is a pretty accountable guy. So this isn't one of those things where I'm telling you he's not being accountable, because he demands a lot of himself. I think he's made that clear during his time in Boston. He wants to pitch here. He wants to be here. He likes the competitive environment. He's willing to take the ball in the postseason out of the bullpen, even though he wasn't 100%. So I don't think it's a lack of commitment, but it's not my job to freak out. It's my job and your job to point out what the reality is. And the reality is, Chris Sale has sucked in the early part of this season. He has sucked. And his underperformance, whether it's his fault, the manager and the pitching coach, or whoever, or some combination thereof. And you're right to say it's not all him. But whatever it is, that whole combination of factors, the underperformance of Chris Sale, that is the number one reason the Red Sox are where they are. Number one on the list. Your ace sucks. And so the Red Sox have told us all along, well, they're bringing him along, they're building him up. This whole idea is they're going to have a lesser Sale at the beginning of the year, and they're going to have a better Sale in September and October. They told us the same thing last year, and he broke down, and he wasn't this bad in the early part of the year. So in the early part of the year, they were feeding us the same nonsense last year. I say nonsense, but the reality is he wasn't this bad. He wasn't close to this bad. He had an ERA of 3 on June 1st, I think it was. I want to say he was 5-3 with a 3 ERA at that point in the year. And then he took off and hit his stride. But he wasn't pitching like himself at the beginning of last year either. But he wasn't the worst pitcher in the big leagues, which is pretty much what he's been thus far. Chris Sale, that's number one. The way they've mismanaged it. And come September or October, given the way it's going now, come September or October, if Chris Sale isn't pitching well, the Red Sox are going to have a lot to answer for. That's assuming that they're playing meaningful games in September and October and that they're in the playoffs, because right now that's in doubt too. 617-779-0985. We'll get back to your calls. And when we come back, talk about another area of this Red Sox roster and lineup, or team, really, the team that has underperformed badly in the early part of the year, and that really bit them in the ass last night. We'll get to that.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top 5 Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911, and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
At the end of your ride home, you'll be all caught up.
You get suspended again, you're going to miss playoff time, or you're going to miss time in the playoffs.
Or questioning your judgment.
I'm sorry I brought it up.
Felger and Mass, 98.5, the Sports Hub.
Little blooper racing on Rodriguez, still racing, he can't get it. A run coming in to score. Benintendi crosses the plate. Moreland down to third. He didn't hit it hard, but it counts for a run. It's 3-1.
So in case you couldn't tell there, that was actually a run scoring hit by Xander Bogaerts in last night's nightcap. Red Sox lose the game. They hadn't scored to that point. I believe that was in the seventh inning, made the score 3-1, as Dave O'Brien told you. The offense is also a problem for this team. You never would have guessed it coming into the year, but the offense is a problem. And we'll give you some of the ugly numbers and the specifics, but if you wanted to say what is the biggest issue for the Red Sox here in the early part of the year, and again, so what I asked in the opening segment tonight, who or what is the biggest reason the Red Sox are where they are? To me, it is the handling and underperformance of Chris Sale. Like, and I'm giving you a specific there. Okay, but Chris Sale's underperformance, they're 0-5 when Sale pitches. They're 9-14 overall, I think it is, right? Do I have that right?
9-15.
9-15 now. Yeah. See, I can't even keep track of all the losses.
Right.
But really, it's that singularly to me is the number one reason. You don't win when your best pitcher's on the mound. If you don't do that all year, you're screwed. And I would tell you, look historically, when the Red Sox have had good teams, Roger Clemens, just think of the aces we have had here going back to the mid-80s. So you're talking a span now of almost 35 years. Clemens, Pedro, Schilling, Beckett, Lester, and now this guy. Okay, now Sale. And there was a year of Price in between. But you're talking about some of the best aces in the game over a long, long period of time. So the Red Sox rely on that. It's part of the reason they've been a contender for a long, long time. It's part of the reason they've been a champion now 4 times in the last 15 years. Because they have front-end pitching That is damn good. Damn good. 0-5 when Chris Sale starts. 0-5. We'll get to that other thing next. The offense, because really, wait till I give you some of the numbers on the offense this year. They're going to surprise you. Al's in Arlington. Go ahead, Al.
Yeah, I think the number one reason why the Red Sox really suck so far this year is the way Cora has handled spring training coming after the championship dependent year.
Sure.
The way he's handled the pitchers, the way he's handled the team. I think the team was not prepared for the season. So I think he's the number one reason why the Red Sox have started so poorly. The way he's handled the pitchers in spring training, the way he just managed the team. Thinking that the formula that made it happen last year is the same formula that's going to make it happen this year is stupid.
So
I think he's the reason behind their start.
Yeah, look, he got cocky. I mean, Cora got cocky. I don't think there's any way around that. Cora absolutely got cocky, and he's an easy one to go after. And I'm not blaming you, because you can very simply and easily argue that you're right. That Cora's an easy one to go after because there have been so many things that have gone wrong. Well, it's so comprehensive that where do you go but the leadership? You go after the leader. You go after the manager. And you said it correctly. They weren't ready. They weren't ready to start the year. How could you possibly argue otherwise? Their pitching is just now rounding into form. This is Sale's fifth start. They were about three starts behind. So, like, as you look at it now in retrospect, you say, well, this is how they should have looked coming out of the gate. Right now, they look pretty mediocre. But at the beginning of the year, they were horrid. Horrid. They were not ready to start the season. And that is apparent now more than ever because their pitching is just rounding into form. Ben's in a car. Go ahead, Ben.
Hey, I agree with the last caller about Cora mismanaging things after the championship. And I agree with you about Chris Sale being the biggest disappointment. One quality start out of your ace, you should expect at least 20, right, on any given season. But for me, the number one thing that makes me angry, the thing that's really got me riled up, is the bottom of the order. Nobody can drive in any runs. And very specifically, Jackie Bradley Jr. Like, what do we do with that guy at this point? He's out there swinging a bat that's 6 feet long. He used to have kind of quick hands so he could get around on things every now and then. But nowadays his hands are a little bit slower, and he's getting around on about 1 in 10 balls that are thrown to him inside, and his batting average reflects that real nicely.
Okay, so Ben,
what do you do with a guy like that?
Yeah, so Ben, look, I don't know, and I've heard different theories on this. I don't know if it's hand speed, if it's timing. You know, he's a little too young to be a guy who's a candidate for a slow bat. Like, he's a little too young for that. And what I think it is oftentimes there are timing mechanisms in a guy's swing that just he starts too late. And so years ago, I remember Jacoby Ellsbury had a problem like this where, you know, his front foot was still in the air when the ball was almost at the plate. And it was just way too late, way too late. So once he was able to adjust that mechanism and get his foot down, all of a sudden he could begin his swing. So it might be something like that with Bradley. I've heard different people discuss different things. But the end result, whatever it is, do you guys know Jackie Bradley's hitting 134?
Sure do. But, hey, you know, his defense, Maz. Got to love him for his defense.
134, Murray. He's got 21 strikeouts and 9 hits.
Made a deal with the devil last
season. No home runs. After all of that nonsense about how spring training was a new swing and all of that,
yeah.
The new swing looks worse than the old swing.
Yeah, but how many runs has he saved us?
Holy crap. I mean, it's really unbelievable. 134. Chris is in a car. Go, Chris.
Yeah, it doesn't matter.
Tony, thanks for taking the call. I guess kind of a two-pronged question here. In terms of throwing blame on people, you can spread it around. I'm not necessarily going to hop on Cora. Someone above Cora has to be willing to say, hey, we've got to get things in motion. We have a short off season. So that's kind of, one of those attributes. But I guess one question that I have is, at what point are we mathematically up against the wall, and what are the mathematics behind the top three pitchers? In other words, of your top three pitchers, what's the combined record between those quote-unquote aces that you have to actually make it into the playoffs? And on that, thanks for the for taking the call, and I'll take the answer off here.
Okay, so Chris, I haven't gone through and looked at Evaldi, for example, although his numbers weren't good. Price has been okay. And so, but what I would tell you, though, is the ace is more important for this reason. Your numbers 2, 3, and, you know, 4, 5 starters, all those guys, they're going to have little ruts. They are. And they might have them at the same time. Your ace should not go 0-5 with an ERA in the 7s or whatever it is at any point in the season. It should, you just should never lose 5 starts in a row with your ace. I don't care what your team looks like. If you have a legit ace, no matter what the rest of your rotation is, you shouldn't lose every time he's on the mound. Every single time he's on the mound, you lose. Now, look, you say you don't want to identify Cora. When we asked the question at the beginning of the program, who or what do you blame? It doesn't have to be a person. So, for example, if you wanted to say, you know, and I think generally you're asking about the starting pitching. You think the performance of the starting pitching overall is number one on the list.
Yeah, that's me. I mean, obviously, Sale gets lumped into that because of his awful start. But, I mean, collectively the worst ERA in all of baseball right now. Price has really been the only bright spot of that rotation so far. The rest of it, they're either injured or they suck.
Murray, they've allowed more runs than any team in baseball but the Orioles. Okay, really. More runs than any team but Baltimore. And look at that. Tell me if you can name 5 guys on the Orioles.
Certainly can't.
I know where Luke in Sturbridge wants to go, where he puts the blame. Go ahead, Luke.
Yeah, hey, how you doing, Tony?
Good.
My biggest personal issue with this team is I really still don't believe in last year's team. So, I mean, that's just me, a little bit of a flash in the pan. But I really think the single worst thing to happen to this team is winning the World Series. That put a rubber stamp that what they did, what they do, the Red Sox way, whatever that means, is the right way. You have Dombrowski, who now signs nobody for the bullpen, kind of going, hey, well, look what we did in the World Series. It worked. We won. Well, they don't have a bullpen now, and they don't have the starters that pitched in the bullpen. You have the Dalai Lama, you know, coach, who he just has to show up and they win. Betts, complacent. I mean, there's no fire, there's no passion. They got rubber stamped that they are the best. What they do is right. And it has permeated throughout this entire team so much at this point that David Price sounds like the sane one on the team. And I never thought that would happen.
So, Luke, it's a good point. I mean, I don't think there's any doubt that they get a little too comfortable for their own good. And you know what the most dangerous thing in the world is, now that I think of it? Believing your own bullcrap. That's like the most dangerous thing in the world. Once you start believing your own bullcrap, you actually start to think you have all the answers. Don't believe your own bull crap, no matter what walk of life you're in, let alone professional sports where it's really dangerous, and because as soon as you do it, you're bound to start losing. Guaranteed. You know, you win because of this, you win because of that. The reality is you win because of a lot of reasons, some of which is luck. Once you start believing you have the answers, once you start believing your own bull crap, you're screwed. You are screwed. Which is where this team is right now. Doesn't mean they can't get out of it, but at the moment, they're screwed. The Detroit Tigers. You sweep Tampa Bay and come home and lose a doubleheader to the Tigers and immediately cut your legs out from under yourself? Oh, that's infuriating. Please. I want to get to the offense. You're not going to believe some of the rankings on this Red Sox offense here earlier in the year. We'll tell you what those are. We'll continue with your calls after Murray gets you caught up on
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
Good.
The show that Red Sox Nation turns to first. The Baseball Reporters, 98.5, the Sports Hub.
As a shot right center field toward the triangle, Jackie Bradley, a long run, won't get it. It's up there against the 420 mark. That'll bring in another run. Rodriguez rounds. He is in to score. Hicks with his second hit. That opens up a 4-2 lead.
It's the final run in last night's game between the Tigers and the Red Sox. Red Sox had closed to 3-2 going into the ninth. You had a chance to avoid a sweep. Quick question for you, Murray. Trivia.
Sure.
Name the Red Sox pitcher who gave up that hit.
Was that Darwinizon Hernandez? Or however the hell you say it.
No, he pitched earlier.
Oh, no, it was that other geek that they brought up yesterday.
Shane Larkin.
Yeah.
Travis Lakins.
That's who it was.
Travis Lakins. Whoever the hell he is, I've never heard of the guy. But he was the guy in the mound, which I sort of look at and say, okay, I know it's the end of a long day. I know you're burning through pitchers, all of this. But you close to 3-2, and Travis Lakins gets the ninth. Like, should he be on the mound in a 3?
No.
You have a chance. You have a chance to come back and win that game still. Especially with the way the one thing you can say about the Red Sox this year is that in the late innings, they've actually generated a few rallies and come back and won some games. Travis Lakins keeps the ball and a one-run lead goes to two and you lose? Yeah. Like, this is one. Now, this is where you say, well, they have nobody in the minor league system. True. Although Darwinson Hernandez came in. He looks like Eddie Rodriguez on the mound, doesn't he? Did he you guys does. Get any look at that? He looks just like him. I mean, really.
I wonder if he's as lazy as he is.
Well, so I hope he's better. But the bullpen last night and yesterday, for that matter, now this is coming up. So, like, the bullpen issue that we knew was there is starting to rear its ugly head. And I said this to Felger off the air yesterday, and he repeated it today. We talked about it a little bit on the afternoon show. But this is what happens with a bad team, is that at the beginning of the year, you can't pitch. So you score some runs, and you're losing games 10-7 or 12-7 or whatever, okay? You get the idea. Then maybe you hit, then you pitch, but you don't hit. And you lose 1-0, which Chris Sale did in Oakland. Then you look like you're starting to turn a corner. You get 3 in Tampa. Sale gets through 5. The pitch count wasn't where it was, but it's a 2-2 game, and your bullpen starts to puke on itself.
Now, the bullpen was starting to puke on itself in that weekend series that they swept. It was just that Brazier was good. They weren't all that great in that series.
So that's a good point. But the thing is now it's costing them.
It's like a leaky boat.
Totally.
Spring one leak, you stick your finger in it, out comes another one.
I mean, so, but it just is, this is what happens. And this is why when you get off to a bad start, it's dangerous. I do want to get to the offense. I put this off too long, so I'll get to that here in a second. Tyler's in Quincy. Go ahead, Tyler.
Hi, yes. Actually, I wanted to pile on Chris Sale a little bit and just say that, you know, you might say that his last start, he might have did okay, but they didn't score enough runs. Well, part of the fault does still fall on Chris Sale if he needs to have someone like Sammy Leone.
Tyler, I got to let you go because you're breaking up. But I would agree that if Chris Sale is so needy of Sandy Leone, well, then that hurts the lineup. And see, the whole Sandy Leone thing to me got way overplayed at the beginning anyway, because Chris Sale pitched to some bums in Chicago. A.J. Pierzynski sucks as a catcher, or sucked defensively. He was an offensive catcher. Chris Sale's numbers with A.J. Pierzynski were basically the same as they were with Sandy Leone. Okay, basically the same. So that's just a sign to me of really mental weakness. And if your team is good enough where you can endure that, then fine. And I generally believe that the Red Sox should be good enough to endure that sort of thing. They have a lot of good players. But none of them are playing well. Jay's in Providence. Go ahead, Jay.
Yeah, I might have an answer for your ninth inning pitcher decision yesterday. Alex Cora, in an interview today, he said one thing he learned from Frank Cora is not to chase wins. So I wanted to know, like, what that meant, pretty much.
Okay, so what he means is when you're behind in the late innings, most managers have a plan in which they say, these are the pitchers I'm going to use when we're ahead. These are the kind of pitchers I'm going to use when we're behind. And because more often than not, if you're going up against a team's good relievers late in the game, you're not going to come back. So don't waste your bullpen on nights when you're behind. That's what he means. Don't chase the win and use your best relievers. In the same breath, I would tell you, you're playing the Detroit Tigers. You can come back against that team, and you had started to close the gap. And so it got to 3-1, then it got to 3-2, and now it felt like, okay, maybe they're going to pull this out. And you gave up a run in the ninth. So, you know, would you have burned, who knows, Matt Barnes or Brazier last night if you had elected to go on that route, and then you may not have him for tonight? Maybe. But I would tell you right now, the Red Sox are at a stage where they can use every win they can get. And I'll tell you another thing Francona did. Francona recognized points on the schedule and in the season when they needed a win. and he would extend a little to get that win. So Cora, I don't know if he ever really had that stage at any time last year, where there was a time where he had to identify a spot where he said, you know what, we need this win. We need this win. For our sort of stability, we need this win. Yesterday, they needed a win. Now it feels to me like they're reeling again. Nick's in Marshfield. Nick, quickly.
Hey, what's up, Maz? So I've been reading and hearing a lot of things about, like, oh, the Sox should bring back Kimbrel, and I disagree because, I mean, this might segue into the offense, but, like, if the offense isn't good enough, you're not going to be using the closer in most situations. So what's the point of investing all the money into this guy? I know Henry's got deep pockets and he can afford to pay him, but I don't think it's worth bringing him back if he's not even going to be used.
Nick, I couldn't agree with you more. I couldn't agree with you more. Don't waste the money. I mean, they get time to figure that out because I think, well, for them, it's a little bit different because they had Kimbrel. But I don't think it's anything that is imminent. And honestly, the end of the game really hasn't been the huge issue. Barnes has been a little shaky, but Brazier does have six saves. Like, to me, the bullpen's thin, but the game they blew last week when Brazier gave up the grand slam in New York, that was a Brandon Workman problem. Brandon Workman loaded the bases, gave up a hit and a couple of walks in a game that you led by three runs. Then Brazier comes in with the bases loaded facing a left-handed batter in Yankee Stadium, gets ahead 0-2 and leaves run in the middle of the plate. And in Yankee Stadium, anything in the air to right is gone. But as it pertains to the offense, and you said maybe this segues into the offense, do you guys remember how good the Red Sox were with runners in scoring position last year?
Sure do.
I mean, it felt like every time they got a guy on base in a scoring position, they got him home.
That's why they were never out of basically any game that they played in last year.
And now, obviously, they weren't every time getting that guy home, but it felt that way, didn't it?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, because they were so good at it. Last year, the Red Sox with runners in scoring position and two outs. Okay, two outs and runners in scoring position, which to me is the baseball equivalent of third down in the NFL. Okay, those are your money situations. That's when a pitcher looks at it and says, I need one more out and I'm out of this. And the hitter says, I got a bear down. We get a hit here. We score and we put pressure on him. I mean, those are the ones. They're like third down. That's the best comparison I can give you. Last year, the Red Sox OPS with runners in scoring position was 840. Two outs in runners in scoring position. And by the way, two outs in runners in scoring position typically favors the pitchers. Okay? So 840. That was number one in Major League Baseball. They were great at it. And I think the Dodgers were really good at it, too, and those are the two teams that were in the World Series. It speaks to timely hitting, right? Being able to bear down in those key spots. Last night, with runners in scoring position, you know what the Red Sox went?
I know for the day, they were 2-for-15.
1-for-12 last night. 1-for-12. In the first game, you said 2-for-15 for the day. They only had three cracks at it.
Yeah.
And 1-for-3 percentage-wise is pretty good. 1-for-12. So, right now, here's where the Red Sox rank in these categories in the American League. In the American League, not the majors. 15 teams. 13th in runs scored. 13th, the Red Sox. 12th in home runs. 12th in on-base percentage. 13th in batting average. 13th in slugging, and 12th in OPS. Okay, in runs, home runs, on base, batting average, slugging, OPS. 13th, 12th, 12th, 13th, 13th, 12th. You're in the bottom three or four teams in the league in every single one of those categories. Every single one. And this is a team with Mookie Betts, Xander Bogaerts, J.D. Martinez, Steve Pierce, who kills left-handed pitching, Andrew Benintendi, who's the next Fred Lynn, as far as you guys tell me, Mitch Moreland, who's off to a good start, Christian Vasquez, who's actually got four home runs. So I'm not telling you all these guys are world beaters in the box, but last year, Bogaerts, MVP candidate. Betts won the MVP. J.D. Martinez was a Triple Crown candidate. All of those guys. And you rank 13th in the league in runs scored? 13th. So, again, I put a lot of it on sale, but it's not just on sale. Dustin's in Gloucester. Go ahead, Dustin.
Hey, I think it's fine.
What's fine?
I think the Red Sox are fine.
Yeah, you know what, Dustin? You're just calling to bust my balls. So you know what? I'm going to let you go.
And if he's not, he's stupid.
Yeah, he's clueless because they're not fine. They're dreadful. They've been absolutely dreadful. And again, just when you think they're starting to turn a corner and straighten it out, they get swept by the Tigers. Ridiculous. We'll wrap it up and give you the big Y matchups of the game next.
The Baseball Reporter's Tony Mazz, 98.5, The Sports Hub.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.
We have the Sox covered. This is the Baseball Reporter's Tony Mazzarotta show that Red Sox Nation turns to first. 98.5, the Sports Hub.
Big Y matchups of the game presented by Big Y World Class Market. Big Y serving the Massachusetts community for over 80 years. This is always an opportunity to look at the Red Sox game, sort of give you some key matchups in the game that are worth watching on any given night. Tonight, Tyson Ross is pitching against the Red Sox. Not a lot of history there. This is the guy who used to be with the San Diego Padres, if you remember, right-handed pitcher. Had, I think, one good year in San Diego. We had like a 2.81 ERA or something, got all this hype. You know, people thought he was kind of like Chris Archer or the Rays. And then he has sucked ever since. So, but Steve Pearce has faced him twice, has gone 2-for-2, only 11 at-bats against the rest of the roster, so not a lot of history. On the other side, Eduardo Rodriguez goes for the Red Sox against Nick Castellanos, or Castellanos. Castellanos is 1-for-12 with 6 strikeouts against Rodriguez. On the flip side, Jacoby Jones, is he in there for the Tigers tonight? Do we know that?
Let me look. Hold on.
3-for-4 with a double and a triple against Erod. Erod's been better the last two times out.
He is. Jones is in.
Okay. He owns Eduardo Rodriguez. 3-for-4 with a double and a triple. Again, Castellanos, the opposite, 1-for-12 with 6 strikeouts. But Eduardo Rodriguez has been better of late, and the Red Sox need every little thing they can get at the moment. Here's another thing I was just looking up quickly. You know how you know when a team sucks?
How, Maz?
And I'm not ready to say totally that they suck yet, so maybe the better way to say it is how a team has sucked. Here's how you know. They don't blow anybody out. Ever. Ever. The Red Sox have won 9 games this year.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, I'm going to give you a summary of them quickly. 7-6 against Seattle, where Moreland hit the home run to win the game late.
Semi-fake win.
6-3 against Oakland, where Betts hit a ball off the third base bag in the 9th inning to win the game late.
Semi-fake win.
Okay, so again, the point is it was a 3-3 game late. 1-0 in Arizona, where Moreland hit a ball that scraped off of Adam Jones's glove and then the top of the fence before landing in for a home run. They won that game 1-0.
That was a good one.
Okay. Toronto, they beat 7-6. Toronto, they beat 6-4.
You shouldn't be struggling with Toronto.
Baltimore, they beat 4-0. Ha!
That's embarrassing.
But it was a 1-0 game until Xander Bogaerts homered in the 8th.
That's right.
It was a 1-0 game against the freaking Orioles, who blow.
Embarrassingly.
They blow. The Orioles blow. 1-0 in the 8th, and you needed a home run from Bogaerts to blow it open. Then you won in Tampa, 6-4, 6-5, and 4-3 in extra innings.
Those were shaky.
I mean, their 9 wins, 7 of them are by 1 or 2 runs. The 3-run game, that was tied when Mookie hit one off the bag. And the 4-run game was 1-0 against the Orioles when Bogaerts homered in the bottom of the 8th. Okay, you're not beating anybody by any significant amount. You're not opening games up on anyone. Every single game, every night, is a root canal. Every single one. So if you want to worry about a team getting demoralized, they either lose and lose big, or just lose, or win by the skin of their teeth. That is the sign of a bad baseball team. Okay? It's early still. But, boy, they better get their ass in gear fast. Adam Jones, what do you got?
Oh, well, we have plenty of lingering thoughts from a Game 7 win last night for the Boston Bruins. They advanced to round two, and that's the good news. The bad news is lots of pressure on your Bruins now. They're the favorites, Mez. They are the favorites, maybe barring what happens with Washington tonight against the Islanders.
I knew you would go this road.
Well, it's just, they're the best team left, right? I got to hear it from all the Bruins fans, so that means they should win it, right? That means they should win it. So we have some thoughts on that. We only have a half hour to get to your phone calls, Bruins fans. 617-779-0985. It's not news to anybody else out there. Big game tonight. Revs and Impact. Big game tonight. So not a lot of time to get to all your phone calls. So jump in. We'll get to you early before we hand off to your New England Revolution. Big, big showdown.
Okay, so there you go. There you go, Jones.
I think they just got to 10th in the conference with their win on Saturday. There, Jones. It's a big one tonight.
Is Arcan with you?
Yes.
Okay. Jones and Arcan. Murray's get your headlines.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task. But after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.